Our guests today are Kathy Trabig, shelter coordinator and advocate, Donna Shaner, the associate director, and executive director, Sydney Allred, having the whole crew here. But just for our folks who don't know, Mental Health Monday is where we aim to provide an open space for dialogues about a number of mental health topics and how folks are being affected on local, state, and national levels. Guests and topics on the show range from psychiatrists, psychologists, school, drug, and grief counselors, and any other professionals in the field. Testimonials from those affected by mental health issues, such as students, veterans, first responders, and more. And we also hear from folks who are organizing events around the community that promote or bring awareness to mental health issues, with the main goal being normalizing these mental health dialogues. Thank you all for coming in, wrapping up things here for the Fremont County Alliance Residency at Mental Health Monday. As we were saying at the top of the hour, the Domestic Violence Awareness Month was for October, but we didn't get to start right at the first, so we're extending into the first week of November here, and this is just important information to get out to the public just in general. So we appreciate you guys taking that extra time to come in to fill our listeners in on a number of things. So I'll just kind of let you guys take it away here for right now. What's going to be our way that we're wrapping things up here today?
Well, thank you. The first thing we'd like to do is express our appreciation to all of the community partners that we have that help victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. This includes the judicial system, the judges, and the prosecuting attorneys in Fremont County. All are law enforcement officials. They all do an amazing job in helping victims as first responders and directing them to our services. Also to the mental health field and the physical health field. So the Riverton and Lander Emergency Room know to call us when they have a victim that needs our support. But we also are working with Wind River Cares and Nikki White's amazing program, Arapaho Family Rising, that looks at wellness in all parts of the humans. So October, with Domestic Violence Awareness Month, Nikki had a wonderful workshop to help people deal with the trauma in their life. So she's doing a wonderful job, and we were very honored to be part of that workshop that she put on. I'm going to let Kathy talk now about the ways that you as a community can help victims of domestic violence be as friends and family.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, good morning. And we just want to say thank you for being here with us. Also, we want to shout out to Michelle at Eagles Hope, also VOA. There's just so many. There's too many to name because it takes a community to help. So what we do encourage is, if you are a victim of violence, all your first step is to make that call and come into our office. That's all you need to do, and that takes a lot of courage, and we'll be there to welcome you. Now, there's one thing that with dealing with clients, what we don't talk enough about is, if you're a mother, a father, a grandma, a grandpa, a sister, brother, aunt, uncle, and everyone has, you know, knows of someone that is in an abusive relationship or has experienced sexual assault. So how do you handle it? And we'll talk about DV. Your first instinct, of course, as a family member is to be protective. And a lot of times the instinct is to be sort of punitive. If you see that guy I'm not talking to, don't bring him over or her over. And what happens in this dynamic is what those natural reactions and instincts do is play into the abusive partner. Because what they're looking to do is to isolate them from family mm-hmm. and friends. Mm-hmm. So you have that barbecue and he shows up or she and makes a complete idiot of themselves, or, you know, so basically pressuring that we're never inviting him over again. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is put that other partner in a position of starting to turn down invitations. You'll also have them where, with friends, right? They're blowing up, he's blowing or she blowing up the phone. And so it's very important to actually kind of do the opposite to what you want to do. And that is to keep that door open. You know, I remember talking with the dad and it was very difficult. And I said, keep inviting. you know, keep, you know, so that that door remains open. Because you'll also have that what you don't see is when they get home. That's when that pressure starts with the victim. Mm-hmm. There's an argument. There could be physical violence, definitely emotionally and mental. So understanding that the more that you keep those lines of communication open, as much as you want to throttle that person, you have to kind of remember that they're going to need you at some point. And it's very easy to judge, you know, what were you thinking? No, just be open. How are you doing? I noticed that you've been missing some family gatherings. Is there something going on? And if they say they don't want to talk, say, well, when you're ready, you know, I just want to know how you're doing. You seem sad. Mm-hmm. You don't seem to be yourself. Things like that, it lets the victim know that you're paying attention, that you're noticing changes in behavior. If you ever want to talk, call me. And that's what's important, is to give referral. You know, this is beyond me, but you know, there's some people that you could talk to, and I want to give you that number. Now, the important thing is, don't give them a card. Don't give them a number that they can recognize, because a batterer can be very sensitive. They're very aware of anyone that might be looking too closely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? So, and really, quite frankly, you're a secondary victim. You're losing sleep. You're worried. You're experiencing anxiety. This is someone that you love. Well, we're there to help support you as well. And we can go through some things that you can do to ensure that that bridge stays open. And also so that you can vent.
Right.
It's very important to go, right. I want to, you know, good. Come, we can take it. We understand that frustration. And then we can go, because every situation is unique.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's do some planning around that. You know, what to say, what not to say. Because what the instinct is to push. I want you to get down there and talk to those ladies, and I want you to get a protection order, or you need to go into shelter. Well, if they're not ready.
Right.
Okay, they're going to shut that down. You know, or, and we've seen this, when they're not ready to do that protection order or go into shelter, they're less likely to actually follow through and can actually put them in more danger.
Because that can be fuel for the gaslighting fire for the perpetrator there. They can, well, see, everyone's against me over there with your family. See, they're trying to put a wedge in between us, telling you that you have to go do it. They're telling you what to do. And then then the victim is like, oh, well, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. And then they're back to that.
Oh, yeah. Or you know what? You're the one that did that. You're the batterer. You're the one that's got the issue, and mm-hmm. you're out of control. So you've got, you know, it's difficult, because what you're working against is someone that is highly manipulative, very skilled at what they do. So that's a little bit of information. We could probably talk an hour with it. But remember that it's, again, you're going to be operating opposite to what your instinct is. And please call us, because you need support too. And then we can help refer you. We can help go through some do's and don'ts. And we want to make sure that your needs are met.
Right. And I just like what you said too, about not putting too much pressure on that victim, because they're already under enough pressure. They don't need a confidant or someone that they're confiding in to be like, you have to do this by this. That's another thing that they have to get done. And then having that unnecessary pressure can just build up to them not reaching out potentially.
Well, and driving them further into the control of the abuser and isolation. Mm-hmm. And again, we have to remember that this is a partner that they love. And until they're ready to understand that, whoa, it's not me, it's you, and there is no more hope left, that's when they're going to be looking for a way out. And I know Donna wants to make a point, so I'm going to do this. Over.
Please.
And as we were talking about this, the control that she's under, she has no control in her life because of her partner. And it feels like then if you put too much pressure on, you're also trying to control her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing she needs. So, yes, we give her options. We give her ideas of what to do. But it's very important that family members never tell her, you have to do this, because she hears that at home all the time.
Right.
So it's just more abusive control in her mind,
when family members are telling her what to do. And another thing that's really important to remember is this is somebody our victims love. This is somebody they have a life with. And if you start criticizing them too deeply, she or he are going to feel like they have to defend their partner. So it's really important that we try and keep our criticism of the abusive person down so that they don't have to feel like they have to defend them. Because we all know if we love somebody and somebody's bad-mouthing them, we're going to jump in and defend them. So it's important. That's a really important thing in these conversations you have. Express your concern for her, as Kathy said, but don't criticize him.
Well, that could lead to some more instances of the victim feeling worse then, because that's someone that they love. And then if everyone is insulting that person, that's an extension of themselves to some degree. So they're just kind of like, oh, well, if they think that about them, what do they think about me? What have they thought about us this whole time? But the friends are, they don't mean that, you know, that they have the best intentions, but it's best intentions aren't always that easy to understand when you're going through these types of things.
You're very exactly right. And that's exactly why it's really important to keep that in mind as you're talking. This is her partner or his partner. This is somebody they love. So focus on her or him and stay away from criticizing the abusive partner. It's very important.
Oh, yeah, Sydney, you're going to add something as well?
Yeah, and I think Kathy made a really good point that I just want to follow up on. It is really hard being the family member of somebody, family member, friend, of somebody who's going through an abusive relationship. It can be very, very hard, and sometimes it can feel really overwhelming. And that's when, you know, you do sometimes get to a place where you might need to love somebody from afar for a while. If you're not going to be able to kind of stand in that space, sometimes it's okay to love somebody from afar. Just so you save enough of yourself and your own sanity that when they are ready, you'll be able to support them, and that you've not gotten so angry or so frustrated that you're giving up, because that's the most important thing. We don't want to give up on people, and we don't want people feeling so overwhelmed by what their friend or family member is going through that they start giving up, because we do know it takes on average 7 to 9 times for a survivor to leave their partner before they stay gone. And it really is about staying in it for the long haul and being able to kind of see that long game. And if they do go back, don't make them feel stupid. Don't make them feel bad. They're already doing that to themselves, I guarantee you. So, you know, just if you do have to take a step back, do it with love.
You wouldn't be cruel to someone who had been suffering alcoholism, who has been off for a year and then goes back to it. You know, think about it like it's almost like a drug at that point. It's like something that you're comforted by in the worst way possible.
It is. And when we recognize, you know, some of the main reasons that survivors have to go back to their partners, it gets back to some of these big barriers they have to getting safe in the first place. So financial reasons are the number one reasons that victims are returning to their abusers. It's not because they want to, but kind of like we've discussed before, if the choice is between freezing in a car tonight with your kids or not having a roof over your head or returning, there's a lot of pressure to return. And then there's also that dream, that hope of the family wanting to keep it together. So people feel a lot of pressure to go back. And it is staying in it for the long haul, remembering it's a bit of a tango sometimes. Not all the time, but it can be. And don't give up. Don't lose hope, because if you stay in it with somebody and make that space, you know, preserve that space in your heart for them and that space in your head for when they're ready to talk, they will get there. They will get there.
They will get there. And then just keeping that in mind, like you guys said before, it's on the victim's time. It's on their time and when they're ready, and being there for them and how to support them.
And remembering that a victim, going back, loves their partner. And we hear these myths, well, they must like getting beat up or abused. And it's like, no, that's quite the myth. They want to be with that partner. They want the abuse to stop because they still see part of that person that they fell in love with. part of that, you know, they're not monsters 24/7. And so remembering that, they don't want the abuse. They want that love. They want that hope that they can heal and be better. And so that takes time for them to get to where, okay, it's I can't fix this. I have to leave. So I just wanted to add that. And
wanted to say that in my past history, when I look back, there were many, many, many good memories of my relationship with the abuser that I was married to. But they are far outweighed by the frightening, terrifying, abusive memories. But until that imbalance happens, you just can't give up hope. You still want to be with that person, thinking this is aberrant behavior, that he'll change, that he'll stop drinking, or you can make him happy. And so until the victim comes to the realization that this is not going to change, that this is the only way that she's going or he's going to be able to change a situation is to take control and change themselves and not the batterer. They're going to stay in that relationship, and that's okay. We just want to make sure that we can keep people as safe as possible until they're ready to make that decision. So that's why we have safety planning in our office, so that if somebody's still in this relationship, they can have a plan on what to do when it's escalating to where the violence is about to happen. So that's important to remember, too. We can help you with safety plans so that you can be safe if you're going to stay in this relationship, because that's okay. It's your life and your choice. You get to do what you need to do.
Well, and that's amazing that you guys are taking that into consideration for part of your services that you provide. It's like, well, okay, then if they're going to stay, then how can we still help them? Because that's the sign of a true advocate, is someone who's staying beside them through thick and thin like that. So hats off to you guys for doing that and realizing the need for that. You're starting to say something else there, Kathy, moving on to the next subject, or well, I don't want to push things along too fast, but we're about the half hour mark. So,
well, I just wanted to think that we have some questions. Sydney does a lot of work within the community, and so she's got a list of questions that have come up.
Awesome.
So,
yes, please.
Yeah, so we're going to move this over there.
And I don't mean that to say that to rush you guys at all or anything. I'm just letting you know that, yeah.
Oh, good. I think out of these, because we run the hotline, and a lot of what we get over that are questions from community members. We also get questions from students all the time, and it's really important to have a space for that. So one of the things that we get asked a lot about, and it's kind of back to the myths, like, are men the only ones who can be abusive? And it's really important for people to know that, no, men are not the only ones who can be abusive. And also, you know, with that, it's not just romantic relationships that can become abusive. You can have abuse between parents and children, children and parents, siblings. It is basically any interpersonal relationship you have can become toxic, and that's where it is important to recognize when someone is crossing your boundaries. Mm-hmm, and so there's a variety of people who can become abusive, and so one of the questions that I had a student ask was, how do I set a boundary? What is a boundary? And basically, when we're talking about boundaries, what we're talking about is your comfort level. What are you okay with? Are you okay with being spoken to in a certain way? Boundaries are consent, and consent is a conversation, and it is everything in a relationship that is healthy and respectful. So a boundary can be, I really don't like pepperoni on my pizza. Mm-hmm. But if your partner's making you get pepperoni pizza every time, they're crossing that boundary.
Right.
You know, maybe that boundary is, I'm going to be going and spending time with my family this weekend, and you want to spend time with your family. And then you have a friend or a partner blowing your phone up the whole time you're there. And unfortunately, that's a big boundary cross. Unlike previous generations, this generation is accessible 24/7.
Right.
And
right.
We all are these days. We all have phones, and there's technology, and there's social media. So someone can violate your boundaries, violate your desire to be spending time with someone else, or, you know, doing other things. Maybe you have to study for a test And you don't want to be on the phone the whole time, but if your phone keeps going off and going off and going off, and you know that there's an or else attached, if I don't answer this, it's going to be a big fight tomorrow. If I don't answer this, they're just going to keep doing it all night.
Right.
That's someone seriously violating your boundaries, your privacy, your personal time and space. And that's really what when I'm talking about boundaries and when we talk about boundaries, it is, what do you need to feel respected? What mm-hmm. do you need to feel seen and heard? And when someone is not hearing you, when you are saying, I don't like this thing, I don't want to do this thing, I don't want to go bowling, and you're going to yell at me until we go bowling, that's someone crossing a boundary. And the way you kind of enforce those, and it is a tango at first, any new relationship, any new friendship, you're testing things out, but it's questions.
And I like what you said right there, too, because it's a small thing. It starts off as small things. It said pizza, bowling, but then that may be the perpetrator's way of seeing what they can get away with. You know, it's start off with the they may not even realize they're doing that in the moment, but they're like, oh, well, when I told her that we're eating pepperoni tonight, we ate pepperoni, so if I tell her she's not going out with her friends, and she's not going out with her friends, and then horrible momentum that builds
snowballs.
Up.
Mm-hmm. And that's, it really is that game, but that's where you set your boundaries, is a conversation, you know? And if someone is not hearing you, that's, you know, start paying attention to those red flags.
Well, and just being prepared too for people don't always handle boundaries the best. Even I've noticed that just in the past few years, this is something that I've gotten, I don't want to say good at, but I clearly know my boundaries in most regard. And there's been a number of times where I've said, hey, could you try rephrasing how you just spoke to me in a way that shows me the slightest bit of respect? And then people, they get this big look in their eye. They're like, well, who do you think? I'm like, no, I'm not trying to trigger you or get you angry, but the way you talk to me makes me not want to answer your question in a way that's going to show you respect. So if you could try to do that again. And people sometimes just, they're taken aback by just basic boundaries.
It
so
is.
I think that is important for any victim to be that one, no, don't be afraid of giving them, but the two, be ready for that next step.
It is. And if you get that reaction where someone's like freaking out on you because you're saying, I'm not comfortable with this, I don't like what just happened,
another red
here.
Flag goes up.
Exactly. They're not hearing you. And again, if we think about what is a healthy relationship, whether across the spectrum, it starts with respect. And respect means I'm going to hear you when you say you don't like this thing, and I'm not going to do it again, or I'm going to try to avoid it, or I'm going to try to change my behavior in a way that we both feel respected and heard. And that's really, if you're feeling disrespected, whether it is between friends, family, things like this, and it is something where someone, you've tried to express what you need or what you don't want, and someone is pushing and pushing and pushing against that, they are crossing your boundaries. And it, like you said, if they are willing to cross the little ones, it will grow and grow and grow. So it's just really important that folks know they have a right to set those boundaries, and that if they run into trouble, we're here.
100%. Yeah, Donna, you wanted to add something there?
So I wanted to make it clear that there is setting boundaries and there's compromise, and good relationships do have compromise. So as Sydney said, you don't like pepperoni pizza, so order half and half. You know, there is a difference between giving in and compromising.
Right.
I really hate action movies, and my partner really hates rom-coms. But once,
so that's why you watch Romancing the Stone, and you get the action and adventure, and then you make that compromise.
Exactly. You find some way to compromise while still respecting each other's boundaries. If one partner is always doing the compromising, that's not compromising. That is pushing down somebody else's boundaries mm-hmm. and tromping all over them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important to remember.
And I do remember, Sydney, when you were giving those speeches at the schools and everything, that was something that the children really responded to, was talking about that pizza and talking about the toppings, because you could see a number of them like, well, hey, how many times have I just, you know, given in to whatever they wanted? So that's a great analogy there.
Absolutely. And we're excited that you guys gave us this time over the last few weeks, and we're always excited to get to share information with the community and any platform we can. So just really appreciated it. And we're thankful that we got to spread the word to more people that these services do exist. We are here. You know, and if it is something as simple as a question, if you have that question, it's very likely many, many other people do. It's what we learned in school. You know, if you've got a question, someone else in the class has that same question.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hesitate to call us. There is no such thing as a silly question. There's no such thing. So if you're worried about something or you want to get some clarification on something, reach out. Because
it's better to feel silly and ask a question now rather than months or years from now be in a situation that you can't get out of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kathy, go ahead.
Well, and I also want to announce that who hasn't been here is Christy Wright, who is another very important member of our team. We are actually going to start a support group beginning in February. So that support group will be on Wednesdays at 4:30 in the Riverton office. So 510 East Washington.
And real quick, can you just repeat everything you just said again one more time?
Certainly. What did I just say?
No. This is the support group.
Yeah, I know. It happens. It just falls out of my head. So we're going to begin a support group in February 2023. It'll be on Wednesdays at 4:30 at our office in Riverton, which is 510 East Washington.
Okay.
And we'll post more information on our website. So that'll be a great place to come and have support. Be with people that specifically understand your situation. It's also really good because you'll have people that are at different points of their healing journey. So you may be still in the relationship figuring it out, and there might be someone that's been out for 5 or 6 years. So that's always great to be able to see people's perspective and that you can heal, you can move forward. The other thing that I want to say appreciate is that, you know, your insight and knowledge and questions are very impressive, and we appreciate that you're here with us and you have an understanding and your support and the community. Thank you again.
No, I appreciate it. And it always helps, too, when you guys are so informational with everything that you've talked about. You've got great, like I said, great analogies to talk people through these situations who may have never been through them. So the questions come easy when you guys provide as much information as you do. So I do really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Was there anything else that any of you wanted to add before we wrap up here for today? Anything going on with the Alliance events coming up other than the support groups that you just mentioned?
Well, one of the things is that the National Coalition has designated February as Teen Dating Violence Month, which is a mouthful to say.
Month, you said?
February.
February, okay.
And April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We are not as active in the community trying to bring about a sexual assault awareness, but it is an issue in Fremont County, and it is something that we deal with in our office. And the legislature has, in the last few years, passed a sexual assault protection orders. Those are a new item, 5 or 6 years. A lot of people don't know that they're available. And if you have questions on that, please give us our office a call, and we can give you the information you need. They're the same as the family violence and the stalking protection orders. You have to go to court for them. They're good for up to 3 years. But there are some differences in them that we can explain more in depth if you have questions on that.
And that'll be huge for any victims who are going through that, to have you guys to walk them through that process and explain those differences.
That is one of the main functions of our office, is to walk people through these court orders to help protect them. Not the only function, but it seems like it takes a lot of our time, and we're very glad to do it. We want people to have this safety net that they need in their lives.
Well, and that's got to be one of the most daunting and scary aspects of it, is all those things you don't know about the legal system, and then now your name's being thrown out there and, potentially. So just having people by your side going through that. Yeah.
Having somebody sit there in front of the judge with you by your side, holding your hand, literally holding your hand, sometimes is just what you need to get through this troubled time.
Well, Donna, Kathy, and Sydney, thank you all so much for coming here this past few weeks. And then, yeah, as we get closer to those other months, please feel free to stop by. You guys are our Mental Health Monday Coffee Time family now. So anytime you guys want to come back and let us know what's going on, please do.
All right.
Thank you.
You have just
wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
we're going to go ahead and wrap up Mental Health Monday for today. We'll be right back after a quick word with our sponsors.